With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney. This week on the Rocky Mountain front, state wildlife officials trapped one grizzly bear and killed another when the bears separately killed a calf and attacked sheep. Wildlife managers expect more conflicts like this as the number of bears in the region grows. Grizzly bears have started walking back onto their historic territory on the Eastern Plains, and many farmers and ranchers who haven't seen the bear in generations are scared for what this revival means for their own way of life. When federal wildlife managers made recovery plans for this grizzly population after it was shot nearly to extinction, few expected, and no one planned for, the bear to return to the prairie. On a recent weekday night in the town of Fort Shaw, just west of Great Falls, people are meeting at the local senior center to learn more about the growing number of bears in the area. Fort Shaw is bordered by the Sun River, which flows east out of the Rocky Mountain front like some kind of nature highway for creatures following water to more water until they reach the Missouri River.
For 128 years, we haven't had to worry about them.
This is Jim Pribble. He says his family homesteaded out in this area in 1889. And back then, there weren't any problems with grizzlies because he said they could just get rid of them, shoot them if they came onto their property. The rules for run-ins with grizzly bears are a little different out on the prairie than in the bear's designated core habitat closer to the mountains. Wildlife managers can be more aggressive about removing or killing bears out here to protect human interests. Pribble says the bear shouldn't be tolerated at all.
We're being told you can't feed dogs on the back porch and you got to secure the grain that's in the open shed, you know, in barrels, and you got to do all these things because bears are moving farther out on the prairie. 3 or 4 years from now, I think there's going to be a lot more problems because there's going to be more bears. So there's going to be more and more conflict. I would just hope that the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the Wildlife Service would be very, very aggressive on any bears that get out onto the prairie.
Wildlife managers are increasingly playing the role of peacemaker between grizzly bears and humans. Here on the prairie, that job belongs to Wesley Sarmento. Last July, he became Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks first ever bear management specialist assigned to the area. At 30, he's younger than most other bear managers around the state. At the community meeting in Fort Shaw, he's wearing a tan long-sleeve Montana FWP shirt tucked into blue jeans. A small spiral-bound notebook is in his left breast pocket. He stands in front of images of grizzly bears projected on one of the room's walls. There's about 40 people there to hear what he has to say.
We're having to live with grizzly bears, so it brings to question a couple things. You know, how do grizzlies fit into our Western way of life? And what can we do to stay safe and deter bears?
Sarmento is in charge of responding to human-bear conflict. That means he teaches people how to keep their property clear of bear attractants like dead livestock and garbage. And he shows up when a bear is giving a property owner problems. When needed, he captures bears or euthanizes them. Sarmento travels a lot responding to sightings of bears, but he has an office in Conrad. It's packed with wooden shelves stacked with binders and papers and radio collar equipment. Half a dozen mounts of bighorn sheep, mountain goat, deer, and other stuffed and skinned animals hang on the walls.
It's very challenging balancing the different viewpoints and attitudes and values around grizzly bears. There's some people that think grizzly bears should be given the same rights as a human, and there's some people that think grizzlies on their property should be shot on sight. My job is to try to find a balance.
Sarmento says he took the job because he wanted to be in the middle of all that, spending time with grizzly bears and teaching people about them. He has cousins in the area who work in agriculture, so he says he understands the new conflict that locals face.
They like grizzly bears, they appreciate grizzly bears, but they don't like it when the grizzly bear shows up on their back porch, which has happened, and they have a 2-year-old kid, they have a 12-year-old kid, and a 16-year-old kid. And so that reasonably makes a parent concerned. On the prairie, it is really just families trying to make a living, and they're concerned about their livelihood, and they're concerned about their own safety and the safety of their children. So their concerns are legitimate, and they need to be addressed.
Sarmento and other wildlife officials have been holding public meetings up and down the Rocky Mountain front in recent weeks, starting before bears started coming out of their winter dens. As that happens, Sarmento says it's important for farmers and ranchers to have a basic understanding for why grizzlies act the way they act. Because grizzlies were unseen in this area for so long, wildlife officials didn't make plans for their return until they started showing up in greater numbers in recent years. Grizzlies are still more myth than real to many of the people who live here. Sarmento says movies, pop culture, and media have often shown the bear as a carnivorous beast willing to eat people when given the chance.
Demystifying something is the first step towards understanding. Everyone's afraid of what they don't know. When we were kids, we were afraid of the dark because we didn't know what was in front of us. And so the first step to reducing fear and increasing awareness is education.
In the area Sarmento is in charge of overseeing, it's not as easy to stop bears from coming into conflict with humans as in other parts of the state. It's the Golden Triangle, Montana's breadbasket. The land is dominated by agriculture and livestock, and Sarmento says he can't put an electric fence around everyone's wheat field or ranch. But bear managers on the prairie can use more force to protect human interest. Chris Servine is the retired U.S. Fish and Wildlife Grizzly Recovery Coordinator, a position he held for more than 30 years. He helped lead the effort to recover grizzlies around Yellowstone National Park and to establish different zones guiding how bear managers respond to human-bear conflict, including the area east of the Rocky Mountain Front.
It's mostly private land, and the potential for conflicts is higher. That doesn't mean that it's a no grizzly bear zone or that we would persecute bears when they crossed the line and entered that area. It just means that we have increased management flexibility. Maybe some bears that get into conflict would be removed on the first time rather than relocated several times as they would be in the core area.
Servine and current bear managers say the zone defining grizzly bear habitat east of the Rocky Mountain Front as part of the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem may need to change because bears are moving farther east than officials expected. Federal wildlife managers say they're almost ready to formally move Continental Divide bears off the endangered species list, but some grizzlies are already moving far beyond the formal Continental Divide ecosystem boundary. Simply put, bears are starting to walk off the map that wildlife officials created for them to live on. Pushing beyond this imaginary policy border means state and federal wildlife managers might have to shift bear management boundaries, depending on how far bears walk east. Far enough, and the bear could become classified as a federally protected species again, which would mean significant environmental review for public land use, like cattle grazing, and change how wildlife officials respond to human-bear conflicts. Even without this potentially new policy headache, Servine says addressing human-bear conflict on the prairie is going to take a while to hit the right balance for what's best for humans and what's best for grizzlies.
But I think with good management and careful management where we remove the conflict bears and respond right away to conflicts with bears so that people know that the agencies are there for them, that we can balance the needs of bears and the needs of people and not have this friction ongoing all the time. There'll always be some level of conflict, but it'll be something that'll be managed.
Back at the meeting in Fort Shaw, some ranchers said that humans are at the top of the food chain, and that shouldn't be forgotten. Others were concerned about who would pay for property that a bear damages and just how responsive wildlife officials would be when a bear shows up. Others were less worried. Standing outside after the meeting, Dallas McKay says he's lived in this area since the early 1970s. Every few minutes, a truck would buzz past in the dark on the highway that runs through town. McKay says, although there's more bears now, they've always been here.
If you don't want to have bears, need to go where there's no bears. You know, this is where we live. It can happen. It's part of the life here. It's kind of like, if you don't want to live by the ocean, you shouldn't.
Wildlife managers in Montana are preparing for Northern Continental Divide grizzlies to come under state control, potentially in just a few years, if the bears are delisted from federal Endangered Species Act protections. Wesley Sarmento with Montana FWP says that's expected to start this fall, and full delisting could happen in a couple years. If that happens, the state could authorize a hunting season for grizzlies on and near the Rocky Mountain Front. That would likely be challenged in court, like the delisting that happened for Yellowstone area grizzlies last year. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.